Hey, legends, you know, none of our interviews or episodes ever date, ever. They are all timeless and ready for you for when you're ready to listen. Download the lot and rip in. This episode is brought to you by our wonderful sponsors at Griffin Air Conditioning. Visit them at griffinair.com.au. Welcome back to Andy Raymond Unfiltered, the Ray Price story. We've already spoken about the rugby union days, what it meant to be a wallaby, moving to rugby league and the early grand finals. The story continues.
You look through the side, your side of that era, and I still maintain it's up there with any side, even to this current day.
I wouldn't give it up for all the Teen China.
We spoke about Brett Kenny earlier. He scored a double in that 81 grand final.
No. He scored a double in every grand final we have won, but they haven't given it to him. You tell me, in the last grand final...
two disallowed tries.
That's right. Mm. Go back to the next one, two disallowed tries. Yeah. I'm not even sure if they gave him two tries in one grand final. They may have.
81, 82, 83.
Yeah. But he every grand final he scored two tries. He's a freak.
Was he the best you played with, or is that hard to say?
But.
Yeah.
Mate, he'd make Wally look like an old man.
Yeah. Special talent.
I mean, well, that's what I'm saying. Half 5'8" or lock half 5'8", the three most important positions in a football team, and we had them covered.
I've done one of these Legends series interviews with Mick Cronin, and he recalls about a young Brett Kenny that Arthur Beetson came over and said, get to the game early on Sunday. Yeah. You've got to see this kid.
Yeah, that was when Crow was coaching. Yeah, right. But they were freaks. The same as Zip. Have a look at the size of Zip and have a look who he was marking. He's marking Big Mal.
Yep.
Used to tackling.
Just the fact that Zip was able to claim a couple of premierships after the start of his career and his knee injury, which was one of the most horrific knee injuries I think we've ever seen, is an amazing achievement.
Yeah. Oh, mate, they were all good. Guru.
Mm.
And then... Lydiard comes along, and then someone else comes along. And it's unbelievable. If we lost a player, we gained a better one or equal.
The 82-83 wins over Manly, do they hold the same sentimental value to you, or is the first one more special?
Well, you got to win.
Yep.
You know, Bozo beat us in the... 76 grand final.
Yes.
He shepherded from the referee and scored a try. And they beat us. A lot of people don't know. They think as soon as you say something, you're whinging. I'll show you whinging. Get out on the field. I'll teach you a couple of things. But, things happen.
Yep.
And you can't have an answer for all of them.
Mm.
But you know you didn't deserve to lose that game because they didn't deserve to beat you.
Yep.
So I do it in that way, and if anyone calls me a whinger, they can call me a whinger to my face and see how I go.
82 and 83, I think it was probably when the Manly rivalry really started, the Manly Parramatta rivalry. Two good grand finals when we look back. In terms of games, they were great games to watch.
You know, Wombat is one of the best fullbacks that I've seen, right? But he couldn't tackle Guru.
He wouldn't be the only one.
Oh, no, yeah. I know that. Guru used to run down the field like that. They just hit his arm. But, you know, that shows you the caliber of the winger that Guru was. He only ran as fast as he needed to.
Some say he was quicker without the ball than he was with the ball, because when he had the ball, he was in control and he only had to run as fast as he needed to.
That's right.
Defensively, if he was chasing someone, then you'd see him motor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Big, strong thing on the wing.
Yeah. Ooh. And we've had a couple of those people like that, you know, wingers like that, and over the last 10 and 15 years. But I like one of the guys we've got in our team now. He's got the same name as the Canberra guy. He's got fuzzy hair sort of thing, you know, dark fuzzy hair. He's a second row or a front row. Scores two tries in just about every match.
Isaiah Papali'i.
Yeah, mate. Very, very good player. When I go to this magic ground, I'm going into the box, into the room, and I'm going to introduce myself to every player, because Stupid Smith, the coach, we said to him when Newcastle beat him in the grand final, we said, mate, we know exactly what Newcastle are going to do.
Yep.
We can win this. We can help you win this grand final. My blokes wouldn't even know who you people are.
Was that the response?
That's what he said to me. I said, mate, when I went to a club, I learned the history of the club.
Yeah.
You learn the names of the players. You're a dead shit.
Mm.
And I said, you'll never win a grand final as long as your ass points to the ground.
And he didn't.
No. Well, how could he? Short syndrome.
Was that insulting?
Well, it was insulting because, you know, Parramatta, we've won 4 grand finals. I've played in 8 grand finals out of 11 years.
Mm.
But they don't want our help. We want to help them, but they don't want our help.
Do you think yourself and some of your old teammates would like to have more input at the club? Not necessarily coaching input, but a mentoring role and a friendly face and teaching a bit of history to the young kids.
But that's what they don't do. They don't invite us. They don't, you know, like they might say, oh, yeah, we invite you to come down to the... What?
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, I'm helping a team up here, Blamble.
Yep.
I'm teaching them how to tackle and make sure they hurt the people before they hurt them.
Mm.
Mate, they're only a young team. But I wanna do something, you know?
Do you enjoy teaching?
Well, I do, because a lot of them don't understand why you do these things. And, you know, I put them on the stand straight away. I said, hey, you blokes only train twice a week. I said, that's shit.
Mm.
I said, if yous don't all give me another 2 training days where you go for a run, I won't pick you.
Speaking of that, you guys trained in the 70s, early 80s, 2, maybe 3 times a week, only for an hour or 90 minutes.
No, I trained 6 days a week.
Not as a team, though. That was
But
being the professional.
To me, endurance is the most important thing you can have in a game. Endurance and tackle. If you can do those 2 things, or you've got those 2 things, you'll be successful in whatever you do.
Brett Kenny told me the story of you, how professional you were and how ahead of your time you were in terms of treating injuries and preparing yourself. He said you'd get bashed up on a weekend and you'd spend the next 5 or 6 days meticulously planning and executing so you could get back out there for the weekend.
I hated missing games. Mm. I didn't want to miss a game. You know, like, I wanted to play all the time. I enjoyed playing.
Did you guys, through this era, realise just how good this footy side was, or you don't think like that at the time?
I knew it was a good side because I could see the personnel that was in there. And there wasn't a thing that a player couldn't do.
Yeah.
Okay, so if he had to do this or he had to do that or whatever, they could do it. And, mate, when you've got people like that, yeah, you know you've got a good side. And you can feel it.
You're listening to Andy Raymond Unfiltered, the Legend Series. We have corporate and private sponsorship packages available. You set the terms. For further information on how you can become part of the team, go to the website andyraymondunfiltered.com.au and hit the sponsorship tab.
Ray, you weren't the captain in the early 80s, but you were the leader.
Yeah, no, I think I captained in the... So before Edgy came, I captained. Then they made Edgy captain. And then when Edgy left, I was captain.
Is there a difference in your mind between a captain and a leader? Because whilst you may not have always been captain, you were always the leader.
Oh, yeah. It didn't worry me, but when I was captain, I could embarrass people into doing things, you know, and it's a gentle way of saying, pull your head out of your ass and start playing.
Why do you think your teammates wanted to play for you? Why did they wanted to follow you? Why were you such a good leader?
Mate, because I loved to win, and they took that off me. They got that off me, you know? And that's the best thing you can do. If you play sport, you don't play anything to lose, surely. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I like winning.
Who was the best leader or captain you played with, whether it was at club football or representative football, and what separated them from the rest?
Mate, John Hipwell was a very good captain, halfback, rugby union. There wasn't much if he couldn't do, and he was a tough little bastard, and he could tackle. But I enjoyed Edgy as a captain, as I said. The reasons why Jack made him the captain, but he could read a game. He had the right personnel around him, so we all did it for Edgy.
Steve Edge, Ray Price, Mick Cronin, and the list goes on and on.
Mate, Bob O'Reilly, you got to put him in.
Bob O'Reilly, all team first players.
Oh, mate, he is the bear. I'm telling you. This is the socket in his ankle, right? It should go like that. Bears is like that. How he even walked, let alone run.
Wow.
It was unbelievable. Yeah, I got a lot of time for Bear.
You guys all had that team first mentality, though. There may have been egos, but they were pushed aside.
No, there were no egos. Really, there were no egos. No one put themselves above the game or above the team.
It wouldn't have been tolerated.
No, but they were all smart, pretty smart people. They knew where and what they were doing.
I first met you in about 84, 85, I reckon. You guys would come and train occasionally where I trained as a young fella boxing with the great Trevor King at North Parramatta. You guys were my heroes. I thought it was great that you guys would come in and train alongside of us. But what I actually took out of that, even as a young bloke, one, how close of a bunch of guys you were, but two, how much respect the others had for you. When you spoke, they listened.
Yeah. But that's what you like.
Mm.
You know, like, I played hard to get a lot of respect out of these people, and, you know, I respect people that play hard against me. So that's why you do these things.
Is that nice to be remembered for that, a player that had the respect of his teammates and opponents?
Well, I think it's better to be remembered for that than to be remembered for an arsehole.
Yeah. 1986, a grand final that still holds a special place in my heart, yours too. It was first grand final, your last. What a magical day.
Mate, we couldn't do anything wrong. Crow missed a couple of goals. You know, like, I suppose if I was a really, really, really hard person, I could say, well, Crow cost me 2 grand finals. The Bars and Miss Gold stuff, not freaking easy. But he had the wind. He was blind in one eye. But, mate, they weren't going to take that game off us. I made sure. I did the last tackle of the game.
Yep.
Just short of the line. And he was not going anywhere near it.
It had everything, that game, in particular theatre, even down to the final 60 seconds with the Bulldogs threatening to steal it and to ruin your party.
Yeah, they weren't going to do that.
What a tough football side they were, the Bulldogs.
No, well, the Bulldogs and us had a lot of competition.
Yeah.
We had eras with Manly where we were very competitive. We had eras with the Bulldogs and then the others were just sort of they made up the numbers a little bit. South, a couple of times we had some ding-dong battles and that.
The game's changed so much in the last 40, 50-odd years, but in essence it's changed very little. The more you want it, the harder you tackle and the harder you run, the more likelihood is you're going to win the football game. That will never change.
No, look, if you ever lose the respect of playing hard football, you may as well not play.
Yep.
But they're changing a game that didn't need to be changed the way they've changed it.
Yeah.
Right? Coaches have got nothing to say. They reckon they know everything, but they don't. And all they're doing is making the game faster and making the referees cheat.
Is it too fast in 2021, the game?
Especially when they keep giving 6 tackles again. But in saying that, when they give the 6 tackles, it's always only on the first tackle. So what is the point of it?
The coaches have worked that out very, very early, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah. And so have the players, because the players know they can slow the game up just by having that penalty.
Let's go back to 86, and you and your good mate Mick Cronin would retire on the podium with the trophy. Being able to choose when you wanted to walk away and on your terms, it doesn't happen that much. More times than not, it's a coach or a CEO or an injury saying it's time. You and Mick, as great mates, got to do it on your terms. That's pretty special, Ray.
Well, I always wanted to do that. I did union the same way.
Yep.
But, I wanted to win. No one knew I was going to retire. They were guessing.
Yeah.
But I could have played on for another couple of years, but I didn't want to. I went back to union then and played touring. But
you told your teammates that week, hadn't you?
No, I hadn't told them all.
Okay.
A couple of them. I hadn't told anyone really because they were guessing.
Yep.
Right. And they were guessing if Crow was going to retire. I knew Crow was going to retire because of his eye.
Yep.
But, I don't know if I would have retired if I lost the game. I don't know.
Is that why you kept it quiet, because you were maybe a little uncertain?
Well, yeah. I want to go out a winner.
Yeah.
And I want to go out on my terms. And that's what I got to do, and that's the best thing.
Griffin Air Conditioning offers the highest quality of air conditioning sales and service across the Sydney metropolitan area, providing installation and maintenance to commercial, domestic and industrial customers. Working with this team, you'll be guaranteed the latest services, technology and developments in the industry. Visit griffinair.com.au and tell them we sent you for a cool deal.
So many great memories, so many great moments throughout the 80s alongside a bunch of mates. Were you actually mates with Jack Gibson, your coach?
Yeah. I tell you a funny thing that happened with Jack, right? My wife doesn't like me repeating this, but when I wrote a book.
Yep.
And it was called Perpetual Motion. And Jack read it, and he came up to me and he said, "Is there anything I did for your career?" I said, "You cranky old bastard." I said, because I gave Ron Massey the credit for what was due to him. Mate, they are like a team. They are the best coaching team I've ever seen, heard about, or had. Anyway, I went and visited him then a couple of weeks later or whatever. He was in hospital, and I went and visited him, and I had to dress him and stuff like that. But over the next year, I never came so close than what I was with Jack Gibson. So he accepted all that.
Yeah.
And could see that I wasn't taking anything away from him.
Yeah.
He was the greatest coach I've ever had.
What made him so good?
Well, like, because of the pair, the two of them, right? Jack can be there talking. He bought a bus to Granville Park. And we'd have our two meetings in the bus. Anyway, Jack would be talking, and then all of a sudden he'd go blank. And like putting your hand up his back, Massey, just come up with the word that he wanted.
Wow.
And off he'd go, and he'd just keep going how he did. And that's why they were so great. Massey knew the best footballers could pick him from anything. He was unbelievable. He just had this skill about him. And Jack was great. You know, he used to do a lot of funny things. Like, remember his big coats he used to wear? No, the big polar bear one?
Yes.
Yeah.
The
famous here comes a polar bear. But the guys were young.
Yeah.
And they all had a joke with him. And that was the best thing about Jack Gibson, because we brought him down to our level.
Yep. But he knew when to lift you up to his.
Oh, yes, yes. He knew who was running the game, but he would listen to the players. And, you know, there's not many coaches that listen to their players, because I believe, and this is only my saying, but I believe John Mooney became a better coach when he started listening to the players.
I think we can agree respectfully. You had that mongrel in you and used it to become the very best that you could be. How did the great Mick Cronin do it? The nicest man in the world, doesn't have a nasty or aggressive bone in his body. Why was Mick so good?
Hey, he got sent off.
For punching?
Yes. Teddy Goodwin it was. Fighting Teddy Goodwin.
Is that at Cumberland Oval?
Yeah, yeah.
Lord Ted and Mick Cronin. There is two of the nice ones. I mean, look,
Crow's a lovely man. He takes a stride that far. It wouldn't even be a foot. That's how he just run pigeon toes. Like, but, yeah, but the Crow is no one, I've never seen anyone put him down one-on-one.
Amazingly strong.
Oh, isn't it? That's all those kegs he picks up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, look, I keep saying I've been privileged because I've been touched in every side that I've played in. I've been touched with a great side. And, mate, the best side was the Parramatta one, but the second best side was the rugby union one, the Australian rugby union one. And, mate, it's great.
Yeah. We've seen some wonderful halves combinations over the years, and halves still to this day get the accolades, the Dally M medals and the special plays. In your opinion, has there been a better 6 and 7 than Brett Kenny and Peter Sterling?
No. Not a hope. I don't care who they put up.
Mm.
You know, Bird's got the speed.
Yeah.
Bird's very close, very agile. He can get through anything.
Yep.
And he can tackle. I don't want Sterling to tackle. He can tackle. There's There's no doubting that. But, you know, now, I don't know if Sterlo would like me saying this, but he won a lot of man of the matches, right? But I think, and I think he would agree with me on this one, Paul Taylor won a lot of them for him.
Because
they were so unbearing.
Yeah, well, they ran the show, didn't they? Yeah.
Oh, mate. Squizzy could tackle anything. Mm. He was a great player. And I honestly, look, I've seen him play some games and you think, wow, still I got the man of the match.
Blonde hair confusing people?
Yeah. Well, still I had a little bit of hair. It only happened when he had hair because when they got him bald, he had to win his own.
Some of the most iconic moments, the photos and the videos of growing up idolising rugby league in the 1980s were of you on your back, Alfie Richards, your trainer grabbing your jersey, pulling you back to your feet for one more tackle, one more run. You just didn't have a stop button. You refused to concede. That's an amazing mindset.
Mate, I set my mind to what I want it to do and my body will do it for me. So, yeah, look, there's a lot of these head injuries and things like that, but I honestly don't think I set my mind. If I'm knocked out, they'll take me off, right? They never took me off. I have been knocked into Gaga land, but I know I can come back from that. So, you know, as I said, I hate missing parts of the game.
Were you stubborn? Were you silly? Or both?
No. I was stubborn.
Yeah.
But I wasn't silly because if I was injured, yep, I would go off.
How's the body now?
Yeah, my body's all right. I've still got a busted cruciate ligament. But I played 15 years of rugby union with that. So I strap it. I know how and what I've got to do. Because you learn these things over the years. So, yeah, mate, if you want to do something, trust me, your mind will let you do it.
Are you concerned about the impact of the repeated head knocks that you and everyone else got in that era, or is it just that's part of the deal?
Mate, well, it's not part of the deal. It's part of the incompetence from the referee. But there's nothing I can do about it.
Yep.
You know, like I'm doing these, you know, I do all...
You do your crosswords and
I
your
do
Sudoku.
All the numbers and all things like that, just to keep your mind refreshed. So, mate, it's a fight. And if you drop your gloves, you lose the battle. But I don't intend to drop my gloves.
Your playing weight was 87 to 89 kilos for much of your career. In 2021, a lot of the halfbacks are 94, 95 kilos. The wingers are 108, 110. Times change.
Well, I started at 78.
78 kilos.
My first game of rugby union, yeah.
Wow.
I marked Kirkpatrick.
Oh.
He was 15 and a half stone. But who cared? I come and threw him. He didn't come back.
Guys like yourself and Wayne Pearce, David Gillespie, Stephen Folkes, wonderful tackle technique.
Mate, that's what you needed. If you didn't have the technique, you couldn't do it. Like, you know, I know, I'm confident to stop a person. Right? There are some people that aren't confident and they put their head in the wrong place or put it into someone's knee or into their hip and things like that, and it knocks them out. They haven't been taught how to tackle. I was taught how to tackle. I used to love tackling. I've been tackling since I was 6 years old.
Do you like the rugby league you see now?
No.
No? It doesn't work for you?
Soft. There's some good players. There's some great players. There are some bludgers.
Yep.
But you're always going to have that in the game. But, yeah, you know, why change something that was good? And don't tell me it wasn't good. Mm. Because have a look at the attendance that used to turn up. So, yeah, I'm old school.
That's not a bad thing.
Oh, no, yeah, I'd rather be old school than this new shit.
Going back to 86 and that last premiership, it's easy for us Eels fans because it's our last one. That's our last boast. It's been a long time. Does that hurt you? Because you're still a proud Eel.
It does hurt me, and I reckon it's the lack of 80-minute games that they put in.
Mm.
But in saying that, I believe that they had the team to win. Now, this is out of like 34 years since I've retired from Watsy.
Yep.
I think they've could have easily won 5 premierships with the teams. They should have beaten friggin' Newcastle. That was just a joke.
Yep.
Through a dead shit coach. So, yeah.
Is 2021 the year?
Mate, I like how they're going. I'll tell you after tonight's game.
The money in 2021 is crazy. With money comes pressure, comes expectation. Is there too much pressure on these young blokes?
It's too much money. They're not earning the money. So if they want to earn big money, let them play big time.
You played the game as tough as anyone had or has since. You led your team via actions more than words. But you've never been sheepish to say the words that needed to be said. You're passionate. You're professional. You have always been a gentleman. You were also my hero growing up. And after 30 years of interviewing footballers, this ranks at the very top of my experiences. It has been an absolute pleasure. Ray Price, you, sir, are a legend.
Mate, thank you very much. I enjoyed playing. I hated losing. And I would do anything for any of our fans.
We hope you're enjoying Andy Raymond Unfiltered. The Legends series drops at the start of the week in depth, personal, reflective. The best interviews, the best guests. The weekly Wodge is the must-listen of your week. Current and former superstars chat footy and have a laugh. And on any one week, we speak to up to a dozen guys on the one podcast. Yeah, it's stacked. That drops just in time for your footy weekend. One-on-One is our weekend drop. We chat with mixed martial artists, boxers and professional wrestlers, both past and present, about their life and times. Some amazing guests, some amazing stories. Be sure to follow us on our social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter at The Andy Raymond, and make sure you're also subscribed here. That way you won't miss a thing. Your podcasts will drop immediately. Before you go, we'd love a 5-star rating and review on the app you're currently listening on. It really helps us spread the word as we look to grow the Unfiltered brand. Make sure you come back soon, legends.